welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 172, I do believe. Or was it 171? I get very confused. No, I'm right, 172. How is everybody? We're back in lockdown, as you know, yesterday. So it's day two of lockdown three. It's like a trilogy. Actually talking to some friends today who live local, and they're like, I'm now totally confused. I'm done with all this. I'm just not coming out. So they're burrowing in a duvet for the foreseeable, which I must admit felt like a fabulous idea to me. What's everybody else doing? Oh, Debbie, don't ask. I'm going to ask even more now. Hello, Debbie. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. Ooh, I am interested now. What have you been up to, Jonathan? Weather's alarmingly humid here. Mike's not happy. Hello, Paul. How is it down under? We've not heard a peep from the local MP. The one who was all over the papers saying, oh, yeah, stiff upper lip, you Brits, got to get back to work. He's disappeared. Yeah, like we expected that. Yes, he has. Apparently, he's a friend of Neil's. We've got an in there. Should we need anything? Personal friend of Neil's. Been interviewing, which you normally enjoy, but 4 hours is not fun. Oh, dear. Is this for new staff, Jonathan? Or are you being interviewed? There you go. There's an idea. Are you being interviewed? What else have we been up to? Oh, Lola's that girl. Talk about brains. We offered her one of her tripe sticks. Didn't want to know. She's never turned a tripe stick down. Then we offered her a venison sausage. Now, if she's never turned a tripe stick down, she has absolutely never turned a venison sausage down. She took it and then spat it on the floor. And we're like, what is the matter with her? Then she came back and started pawing for another venison sausage. Like, Lola, it's the same as the first venison sausage that you didn't want. No, what she's doing is she's squirreling them into a meal and then enjoying the lot in one. So she's on a kind of foraging. She doesn't want to eat as she goes anymore. She wants to sit down and do it comfortably. Oh, it'd be the death of me, that dog. Interviewing for people to join the company. You interview with a colleague, used to head up her team. Oh, I can imagine that can be quite stressful. People on their very, very best behaviour and you rolling your eyes knowing that half of it's a pack of lies. I did, when I was working, get the unceremonious job. I didn't enjoy that, really. My principal, who was the solicitor that I was an article clerk to, didn't have the balls to sack somebody and asked me to do it. So I had to sack somebody. So I did the sacking, not the hiring. You'll be far better at it than me, he said. And that was it. And I thought, well, you know, she's finishing at the end of today, so I've got no option but to do it. I was quite gentle, though. I was. So Debbie says tree people were cutting the neighbour's tree, having to do with the power lines, and a huge bit of tree killed part of the 16-year-old cactus. Oh, that's awful. What do you think? They take care. I mean, you could have cats and dogs meandering around out there as well. It's like if a neighbour's having something done, you can guarantee it'll impact you. Hello, Paul. CQ, CQ, Deb. How are you doing? Yes, macarooners, present and correct. Do you offer relocation? I could leave the house to Pam. Are things a little strained, Paul, in the moving house stakes? Can you believe it's September? It's going to be a matter of weeks and you are in that fabulous new house. And I remember when we were just looking at the kind of the markers they'd put down for the foundation. It's amazing. You ended an interview after 10 minutes, you'd seen enough. No point dragging it out for another 50. And you gave them honest feedback, which was apparently the first. That's it, isn't it? You don't really tend to get honest feedback. I think people are too scared of getting sued. Have I ever actually interviewed? I had an interview for university, which was like a walk in the park, really, that one. Not that stressful. I think they were just going off the grades that you were supposed to get a place. Like, it was that simple. This company that used to be local, that was the only medical malpractice solicitors in the country, I wrote to them and said, like, you know, I'm looking to do summer work. So the interview consisted of, like, going in, okay, she's not got two heads, yep, that's fine. So there wasn't much in the way of an interview there either. Probably the only time, and, you know, it wasn't really a proper interview, again, it was just, yeah, she looks fine, was when I went, when I was at university and I needed a part-time job. And I went in and, you know, I had all my CV with me and stuff. And it was like, can you read and write? That'll do. Ridiculous. And other than that, I don't think I ever have. It was different when you were like freelancing. It wasn't really an interview. It was more whether you knew your stuff. So they might ask you to train for 10 minutes, but it was less of an interview. I don't think I'd be very good at an interview, Jonathan. Let's just say that. First time I've ever got feedback, like, make sure your shirt's tucked in for a customer-facing role. Was this person incredibly young, Jonathan? Because, you know, you would have thought, going to an interview, everything would have been tickety-boo. And that when they, if you'd have given them the job when they came into work, it would have been, we need to tell them how to dress, kind of thing. But I wouldn't have thought they needed that at the interview. But there you go. They started with a chainsaw at 8 o'clock, was not happy. Oh, no. You took photos. That's a good manoeuvre. That is a good manoeuvre. We took a photo when and we had no idea where this had come from. In the garden, our garden is like a little triangle shape because we're on the corner. So the back garden goes to a triangle shape. And we have a garden shed in there. So there's about enough room to get like one person past it into this really tiny triangle behind the shed. And it was basically, if we'd have put the shed any further back, there would have been part of the garden cut off. So the shed is where the shed is, just so there is a bit of a gap and you can actually get to the back of it to put fence panels in, etc. And Mike came in and he said, there's a garden parasol behind the shed. I said, we don't own a garden parasol. He said, no, it's not ours. And it's up. I said, it's what? He said, it's up. So it wasn't a parasol that somebody had like used as a javelin. It was actually up. So I went and I had a look and I said, well, it's clearly blown out of somebody's garden. I said, but how's it got there? Because this triangle shape, obviously the shed's in front of it. And next door on the other side had a huge tree that we needed them to cut down so we could get to our fence post. But that's a different story. And we took photos of it and we couldn't find anybody who owned this thing. And then it turned out the neighbours on the other side, she actually knocked on the door and she said, you've not seen a garden parasol, have you? Luckily, it didn't damage anything. But if you can imagine a full size, you know, 6 foot tall, probably 8 foot across diameter, garden parasol being lifted in the wind, it was lucky it didn't end up impaled on the extension. But it just ended up behind the shed. So we gave it back to her. You're clearly going to need a bigger base for that. But it is, isn't it? Every time somebody has something done, it impacts you in some kind of way. This is why I went round all the neighbours and explained what we were having done and how long it was expected to take. And if they had any problems, don't hesitate to talk to me, just in case, because I know what it's like. My beef at the moment is the number of people who are parking outside my house. That is really annoying me because everybody has enough space for two cars. So cars, in my opinion, shouldn't be on the road. In fact, it'd be good if they were on the road because a good 80% of them is parked on the pavement. There's no way somebody with a pram or a wheelchair could get past them. And they're all different cars. Last night it was a bright red one. The night before it was white. And I'm like, where are they coming from? Who are these people? Why are they parking outside my front door? It's only going to take, and to be honest, you know, I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but...
Oh, you're ranting.
I'm ranting about all these cars. As I say, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but it's not uncommon. We've had it happen at least half a dozen times that somebody, probably the worse for drink, comes flying around the corner straight into the car and then they knock the car into your wall. Obviously, I don't need that with my wall either. But it will happen. One of these cars will get damaged. They are parked in the most stupid places. That's how accidents happen. And obviously, with your tree, your poor tree, I hope it recovers.
Somebody hit a tree?
The cactus. They've taken a chunk off a cactus. Is. Yes. I mean, you wouldn't want to take a chunk off a cactus, would you? Did cacti recover? No, they strike me as quite hardy little plants. But I'm not allowed anything that at one point was alive. Because obviously when it's been with me for a couple of weeks, it won't be.
Yeah.
I'm allowed plastic plants, apparently. You know, you see all these YouTubers with plants behind them? Yeah, mine's going to have to be plastic.
I had a plastic plant in the flat.
You did? I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably have tried watering that and then patted myself on the back. It hadn't died.
I probably did.
You had a goldfish, but that died.
Yeah, somebody poisoned it.
Oh, that is a ludicrous hour to start working as well. We do have that here a bit, but not good. Not good. Let me have a look. It's a remote job, but you're in a different time zone. Oh, that's most unfortunate, Jonathan. Oh, you've got a firm closing date of the 28th of October. Oh, that's just nice, though, isn't it? It'll give you... It'll all be nice, shiny and new, ready for Thanksgiving. I always think of that as Black Friday. Thanksgiving. It is the most stressful thing you can do. I totally agree with you. I mean, the last time I moved, I was 12. And it wasn't good. If we'd have moved straight into the house, it wouldn't have been as bad as it was, but it was moving. We had this staggered thing where they couldn't complete for 2 weeks, so we were homeless for 2 weeks. And we moved in with my grandparents, and they only had a two-up, two-down little terraced house. And all the furniture was in there as well, so there was stuff all over the place. I was sleeping on some kind of camp bed affair. It was not the place to be for 2 weeks, I'll tell you. And then we had to move again, which meant we had like all the vans and all the packing and the unpacking twice. But the stressful part of it was like just it not being like where you're not at home. You are homeless for 2 weeks. And then when you get to the new place, then you've got all of the unpacking to do. And that does take years. But you're moving somewhere bigger. So that might work really well. The first time I moved, I was nine. And we were downsizing from a bigger house to a smaller one. That never ends well, trust me. We ended up with like one bedroom that was just absolutely jam-packed full of stuff. And there was just no storage. So we'd gone from a house that had downstairs, it had a kitchen, a morning room, which is basically a room next to the kitchen where you tend to eat normal meals rather than a formal dining room. So we had the kitchen, the morning room, the lounge, the dining room and a reception room. So there was five rooms downstairs, and where we were moving to, it was one through lounge. So there was two rooms downstairs, the kitchen and the lounge. Well, you're just not going to have the same amount of storage. And we also didn't have much in the way of storage upstairs. But, you know, I look back now at the size of that house and I think, how on earth, you know, where did we put stuff? Because there just was no storage. Luckily, when we moved in here, we were upsizing again. The rooms here are quite big. So we can put lots of rubbish in them, can't we, Mike?
We can.
And we do. Mm. Yes, we'll have to sort that out. But it's so stressful. And of course, you're then getting on each other's nerves. But I'm sure you're coping admirably and it's all going to be worthwhile. Just keep that in mind. It's all going to be worthwhile. So Mummy Isaacs does interviewing. I can only imagine what interviews for medical school are like. Did you know, Jonathan? There's a genre of YouTube videos all to do with medical school. So medical students doing like basically vlogging their medical career from interview stage upwards. One that flashed past me today, I didn't watch it. I must have watched something else and it just came up on the first page. And it was somebody who'd obviously tried to get into Harvard last year and done this video of how they didn't get into Harvard. So there was all tears all over the place. This second video was, I've been rejected from Harvard again. And I'm like, would you really put this out on YouTube? But apparently it's a thing. I did not know it's a thing, but it's a thing.
I'm just reading Johnny's one candidate last week when asked what SQL was, didn't know. And it reminds me of where I work now. When they take on trainers, actually, I don't know if they do it now because, you know, we're a global team and I think they just do like a Zoom interview. But certainly when the team was part of IBM, which is how I started, and they were taking people on for a physical training role, as it were, before the days of virtual training. They used to make the trainer, the prospective trainer, come in and do a short presentation, basically a short training session, and they always picked VLOOKUP. I was actually talking about this last night in that webinar about VLOOKUP and explaining how it's one of those things that employers tend to ask people if they know what VLOOKUPs are. And this girl came in and did a presentation, and it was like she was all over the place and she got totally lost and confused, and she said, oh, you're using Excel 2013, I'm only used to 2010.
Oh, for crying out loud, it's the same thing. Do you know what would really be a good interview? You know, like how it really is when you're training, where you know, you think training is going into a room in it and you've got every aid known to mankind and it's fabulous. You should set up this kind of scenario where they walk in and they go over to the computer and it's dead. Now train, because that's reality.
And you've got a whiteboard and
a whiteboard. Oh, and I guarantee you, if you've got a whiteboard,
a marker pen that's half run out,
you will have a dead marker pen and no cleaning thing.
Or the cleaning thing won't clean properly.
Yeah, there's that as well.
I've had plenty of those over the years.
But the thing is that...
Or a permanent marker pen. How do you get rid of that?
That's another one.
Because I've done that before.
But
as
the
well.
Thing is, if that actually happened to you, in an interview situation, you'd freeze. You would totally freeze. But it's more of a psychometric test because for real, you wouldn't freeze. You can't freeze. Freezing's not an option. So get used to it. So what you would do in reality, I would always have tissues with me, you know, a little packet of tissues.
Yeah.
So I'd get that out and just use that. If the pen was dead, I always have a pen with me, so get a pen out. If it's a permanent marker, I check that first. Do you remember the guy who wrote in permanent marker on the pull-down screen because he thought it was a whiteboard and it wasn't?
See, Johnny picks VLOOKUP as well. It's one of those
what
things.
What is it with VLOOKUP?
I don't know, but yesterday when I was doing that webinar, and I said, last topic I'm going to cover is VLOOKUP. I said, it's one of those things that, yes, it's very, very, very useful. So, you know, you want to know about it. But it's also one of those things that if you're going for a job, not that I'm suggesting you're going for a job, because obviously, you know, their employers paid for them to come on this webinar. And the last thing I want to suggest is that they're going to up sticks. So it was like, you know, what they do is they pick, if they're going to give you, if the role involves a load of Excel stuff, they want to give you a little test. And they usually pick VLOOKUP to ask you, you know, to do a VLOOKUP. And it's just one of those things. I don't know why, Johnny. I don't know why you pick VLOOKUP. Is there a reason? Is it because it's sort of semi-advanced but popular and common?
Kim's talking about football season getting ready to start and says the home team gets to determine how loud the fake crowd noise is during the game. Is that the same for you? Well, we have fake crowd noise, but I think it's put on by the BBC, isn't it? Is that crowd noise in the stadium?
No, it's not in the stadium.
So the players are playing in a silent stadium, but it goes on the TV. And we have a thing called the red button. Only we don't, do we? Because we don't have a TV like that. But on your TV remote... This harks back to the days of teletext, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember the coloured buttons were part of teletext?
Yeah.
Teletext was a service where you pressed a button and your TV screen got covered in like primitive internet, literally. It was like news headlines. People had holidays on there, but very, very rudimentary text on the screen. So we had four buttons. There's yellow, green, red and blue. And the BBC hijacked this red button. And when you press the red button, you go into like, it's like the trolley handle, isn't it, Mike?
Oh, the trolley handle.
Yeah, you go down a rabbit hole into a version of the BBC where you can determine what soundtracks you have. So you can actually turn it off if you want to on the red button, but it's been put on by the broadcasters. It's not actually in the stadium. So I don't think the home team, away team or anybody else gets to say how loud it is. Loving the one about the SQL. She didn't know.
Yeah, that's...
But got through for being honest. Well, that's fair enough, isn't it? Oh, and Anthony was nearly as nervous as the person being interviewed. Yeah, I can understand that. Absolutely. Everyone has had an interview, but not everyone has interviewed. That's true. You know, you've got to put them at their ease enough, but not too much. It's tricky. Oh, Paul, a car washing business. Well, you know where we are with that. The imbecile opposite. I will have a look at that. You're going to have to find more pandas for me. They were so gorgeous
right,
last
I'm
night.
I'm going to get ready.
Mike's got another meeting, haven't you, dear?
Yeah.
With your bromance buddy.
Yes.
Mike's bromance buddy.
I'll go and wash my hair. I won't shave.
Oh, you're going for the rugged look today, dear.
Yeah.
Well, you are on holiday, so you can say you're on holiday, can't you? And yeah, that'll do.
I could say I'm dialing in from Costa del Sol.
Well, yeah, because we can't go anywhere else. Oh dear.
The benefit of Costa del Sol is you don't have to quarantine when you come home.
That is some damage, isn't it? Oh, that is so sad. How much do they grow each year? I mean, we've got some thing in the front. I have no idea what it is. Mum just liked the look of it. The one next to it looks like holly, but it's not. It's very lime green rather than a deep green.
Somebody's unmade the bed again.
I think she's hormonal. Don't get upset with her. We keep making the bed and she keeps on making the bed. At least I wasn't in it this time. She tried that this morning. I'll just dig on the bed. Oh, sorry, Mummy. Were you asleep? No, this one particular bush grows like very long. It grows upwards, but very tall. Not all of it, just individual branches, probably no more than six at a time. But it can grow kind of 6 foot in maybe 4 weeks. It's ludicrous. You can virtually see it moving. It's that bad. But that is some damage there, isn't it? I don't suppose there's any way that's going to graft back on. Have you told them? They are spectacular. They look huge. That third picture, they look absolutely huge. Right, don't mention car washing. Neighbour scratched your less than 1 month old car getting into her space. That is shocking. Mind you, I do say, Jonathan, car parking spaces, they seem to be the same size they were when cars were 10 times smaller. Why everybody can't have car parking spaces that are the width of the parent-child ones, I don't know. Because people these days have cars that are much, much bigger. And I swear the spaces are still the same as when, you know, everyone had a Mini. They should definitely be a lot bigger. Spent a lot of time researching how to do the interviews. Your boss wanted you to ask about childcare. And I had to remind him we're not allowed to ask. No, that's the other thing, isn't it? You have to be very careful what questions you ask or even kind of head tip to. Give a nod to a particular question. Hello, Pete. I hope they buy Debbie an entirely new cacti or even a collection of cacti. Ah, Paul, that's very wise, taking a week off during the move. Do you know when we moved? I don't think that the first time we moved, only ever moved, well, three times, but basically it should have been twice. The first time we moved, my dad didn't even take the day off. So he literally left for work 5:30 in the morning and left me and my mother to it. And I was 9. So she had to organise all of the stuff into the big van. And then there's like the personal stuff, you know, like your finance stuff. He came home at lunchtime because he was the only one who drove and drove me and Mum up to the new house. And then we waited for the van to arrive while he went back to work. I remember thinking at the time that was idiotic, but, you know, that's what he did. That was Dad all over. He didn't have the option of doing that the second time. Mum was like, that's not happening. He had to take time off because instead of a removal company, we did it with a van from his company, which saved a fortune. But with the van being smaller, we had to make like 5 trips and we were going about 25 miles. So he had to go backwards and forwards with this van. So he didn't get away with it the second time. We were talking about med school, Pete. Have you seen this genre of video on YouTube? Like medical students, and they're vlogging their way through med school. Exams, interviews, hilarious things with patients. Oh, they are absolutely hysterical. One of the ones that I did watch was a guy who's just finished his USMLE. Not got the results yet, but said it was like 6 months solid of, revision, I suppose. He's got an undergraduate degree in, no, a first graduate degree in biochemistry, I think. And he's in fourth year of medical school. And this USMLE tested him on everything he'd ever done in his entire life. An 8-hour exam. That shouldn't be allowed. I tell you what, though, I had no idea that when you go for exams now, you are frisked. You are put through a metal detector and there is a camera in the booth as you answer the questions. Wasn't like that in my day. Wow. Did not know that. So I learnt a lot. So Jonathan's never moving again. That's perfectly fine, Jonathan. Can understand that. That's what I say when I think about it. I can't even think about moving. I mean, Scotland was lovely, but then it was like, yeah, but you'd have to move. No, I'll stay where I am. Stay where I am. So you've done the interviewing, have you, Pete? And found it hilariously. Almost as bad as stripping wallpaper. This is why you're not moving, Jonathan. Imagine you moved into the most amazing place, but every room needed the wallpaper stripping off. But now you've done it once. Point one, you have a stripper. Point two, you would now be sage enough to get somebody else in to do it. Hello, Simon. How are you doing? I think Jonathan needs to pick something to really test somebody on Excel. What level of expertise are you expecting from them in Excel? Because if you asked about index and match, you know, if they've all research VLOOKUP, then they're going to look at you vacantly. How much Excel knowledge do they actually need, if any? Or are you just asking for the sake of asking? This is why I don't buy new cars as well, Jonathan. It's too heartbreaking. It is. Why is the chat moving on me? Don't move. Are there cameras in your garage area, Jonathan? Because if someone else wasn't as decent as that, that'd be even worse, wouldn't it? I would if I'd spent a fortune on it, Debbie, as well. We had a friend, I think this happened about 3 or 4 years ago, and they shared a car between them, a couple, and they bought a brand new car. And they went into what we call Ashton-on-Mersey Village. So it's very tiny. It's like one road of shops. And there's a co-op there, which is like a mini supermarket. And there's a mini Tesco there. So they parked where they were allowed to park. So they hadn't parked illegally. They were parked in a spot they were allowed to park. And the next they see, They're inside the shop. They come out to see a Tesco delivery truck, which is like huge, a HGV1 size, backed into their car and carried on going. And this car was like 2 weeks old. It wasn't exactly a write-off. Good night, Jonathan. Wasn't exactly a write-off, but you know it wasn't far off. It needed a lot of work doing to it. Tesco's were reasonably good about it. They could hardly deny it, because as soon as they came out and the truck was just backing up and pushing this car over the pavement into the wall, you know, they were able to just, I mean, they're screaming for him to stop. How he didn't know, I have no idea. But they also flicked their phone on and got a video of him doing it. So there was no argument about it. But the thing was, they were without their own car because this car was brand new. The bodywork stuff was one thing, but the replacement parts it needed, like bumpers and a door and wing mirrors, the car was too new. They weren't in stock. So they had to wait and wait. And I think it was about 2 months in total before they got this thing back. And I think I'd always feel with it, you know, it wasn't quite the one that I had for the 2 weeks before. I think you would, no matter how good a job they did on it, you would be aware of it. And you're also, I would be concerned what damage has happened to it, like not bodywork wise, but structurally, that should you have another accident, should somebody go into you when you're driving, will it just fall apart? Because you never really know structurally, do you? I couldn't be doing with it, so I don't buy new cars. Then that's problem solved. Problem solved. Hello, Mrs. Simon. How are you doing?
I'm quite liking the shaggy perm look. Like Clayton, you know.
Just get it combed. Don't do that. You look like a poodle. I'm going to get photos, Mike, I'm telling you. Oh, dear. Oh, actually, Simon, that's not a bad idea. Costa del Sale, a name for our soap opera. Yeah, it's turned into like Car Park Central here. Oh, Paul. Mum backed into the first new car 2 weeks after you bought it. Is it something about new cars? It's a bit like when you wash your car and it's all shiny and then a bird christens it from above. It's as though they know, oh, clean car, that's the one I'll go for. It must be something about new cars. Tracy's got a large prickly pear cactus as well. I'm not allowed anything that's alive. Aren't cars getting smaller? I don't think so, Simon. I think width-wise, no. And they've got almighty doors. And it doesn't help that people can't park. The spaces do seem a little bit small to me. And don't forget, people are getting bigger as well. So you have to open the door wider to get in. No, I think car parking spaces should be bigger. And it does annoy me that when you get to the, like Tesco and Sainsbury's, and you get there and it's like, these are the disabled parking spots. Fair enough. These are the parent and child. Why can't they walk? These are the ones for seniors. And by the time you finish, I'm part 3 mile up the road. At which point it's like, well, you clearly don't want my business, so bye. I'll just go somewhere else where I can actually park within the vicinity. I find that ridiculous. And all of those parking spots are bigger than the ones that they expect everybody else to use. Only Simon would ask if the cactuses make interesting hallucinogenic drugs. Only Simon. You'd rather they do tree trimming. But after the butcher's job, that's the thing. The jobs I've seen people do, they don't care. You know, they're working there and you'd think they'd have a reputation, but they don't seem to care. And when they leave, it's like, what happened? And then you have to get somebody else in to tidy it all up. Oh, dear. Made a mesh run and then ran it through the chipper. You must have had the chipper that we had last week. The next door but one had some trees taken out. And every time we tried to speak, you couldn't hear yourself think because they were feeding stuff through the chipper. And Mike's like, what is that thing? I said, it's a chipper.
It's as bad as them across the road. Taking about 3 weeks to get that path done.
I know, it's just a path. It's not even that big. And we can't move for sand and blocks. And it's been going on weeks. I mean, normally
we're still doing it today.
A path would not take you more than a week, would it? No matter how big it was.
No.
People are normal. Because time's money. I would say three days to five.
I think it's gone through to the back, though, unless they've had the whole back.
We got a quote for having the front some, what was it, sandstone or something. It's basically slabs. Take the grass away so it doesn't grow, then I don't have to cut it. That kind of thing. In the front, down the side of the house, and in this tiny back garden we've got, and the quote was £26,000. Which we just looked at each other with, yeah, that's probably not happening. No, not happening. That was, I felt that was absolutely outrageous. But apparently it was to do with the sandstone. I mean, a stone's a stone to me. Apparently not to them. Right, let me catch up. Used to have a lamppost in the middle of the cul-de-sac until the Morrison's van came and destroyed it. I wondered last weekend whether
there's a lamppost somewhere down the road like that.
Oh, you need pictures. Because the bollards are still there. Touching wood. Touching wood.
If I can remember where it was, they'll take a picture. But the problem is, this looks like there's no accident round it.
No,
so it's
probably
like
deliberate.
Somebody's just got an axe in the middle of the night and chopped half the... Well,
can I just say I would understand that? When we moved in this house, Mum wanted the back bedroom. There's only one back bedroom. The other two bedrooms are at the front. And she said, I won't sleep, you know, in the front. It'll be too noisy. So you can have it. I thought, thanks for that, Mum. But, you know, I thought, fair enough, whatever she wants. So she was in the back. So I'm in the front and we'd only just moved in. We didn't even have any curtains up. And right outside the bedroom window, the front bedroom window, there was a lamppost. Obviously, it was facing the street, but it was the style of lamppost that was like the top of it stuck out. So if you can imagine a lamppost going vertical and then at 90 degrees, it had a bit sticking out that must have been easy 3 foot. And then it raised slightly. So it wasn't quite 90 degrees. It was probably about, you know, 95 degrees. But the thing was, it lit the bedroom up. So Mum said, I've got these lovely curtains, and she puts these curtains in and they're very light. And this thing bothered me all night. So I can actually imagine somebody taking an axe out and losing a lamppost. What they've done here, it's actually higher now than it used to be, which you'd think would be worst. But somehow they've kind of done it so it doesn't glare into the bedroom. It does actually point downwards where it's supposed to be. But the other one that they replaced in the middle with the bollards is now a lot shorter than it used to be. And it's got like a goldfish bowl on the top. And that's annoying at night. And I must admit, I sit and think, why do we need lights? If we're all supposed to be in lockdown and all the nightclubs are shut and stuff, why do people need to be out at that time of night? Obviously, if they're going somewhere like hospitals on shifts. But that would be the exception, not the rule. And they'd have lights on their car. So why are we lighting up the street for no good reason? Because there's nobody out. Or there shouldn't be anybody out. But there you go. No one tell Mrs. Simon about my horrific comment the other day. Simon was just telling us how much he absolutely adored you, Mrs. Simon. That's my recollection of it anyway. The new Volvo is the same size as the old one, but you need twice the space to get out because the depth of the door is huge. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The doors are so much wider. But I've seen cars like the old Mini has kind of morphed into the wheel arches kind of stick out another 4 inches on both sides. So I think it wouldn't hurt these days to just have them a little bit wider because, you know, you add to that the fact people can't park. I mean, seriously, can't park. Some of the stuff we've seen cannot park. Mind you, it's as bad as my father, wasn't it, knocking that cone over? There was nobody else actually in the vicinity. But he still...
There's two dogs out there sniffing at each other.
Really? It's all right, don't tell Lola. She's hormonal, leave her be. Oh, right.
I'm just putting this shirt on, right? And obviously I'm going in my jogging pants.
Yes.
And I just had a thought.
Careful, he's had a thought. We best all sit down.
Well, if I did have to go back into the office,
yeah,
I probably haven't got any trousers that fitted.
This is a valid reason for not going back in. There you go.
Yeah.
See? Actually, I was thinking that shirt looked a lot bigger on you than it did. I think you've lost weight. Probably the week they've run out of stuff for you to deliver. Oh, 26,000 would pave the whole of Manchester. That was my thinking. That was my thinking. But no, he quoted us £26,000. He said it was nice stone. I thought I'd want gold bricks at £26,000. Needless to say, it didn't get done. Was it Indian sandstone?
Indian sandstone
it was. Which, to be honest, just looked a bit distressed in my mind. It wasn't like there was a style of path that was popular about 20 years ago, like a herringbone style. They looked fabulous when they were first done. The bricks themselves were like, you know, homogeneous. They were absolutely spot on perfect, these bricks. And they laid them with mortar or cement between them. And they looked great for about, you know, 2 to 3 years. But then it attracted moss in where the cement was. And then they didn't look so good and they needed power washing all the time. I quite liked the look of them when they were brand new. But this new style that's come out seems to be like slabs of different looking bricks. And then they put them in a pattern. So they're not even all the same colour. And I looked at them and I thought, well, it's got to be faster for the people laying the path to lay bigger stones rather than create herringbone patterns. The other thing is they can get away with it being like quite uneven. I mean, not horrifically like cobbles, but not as even as you would have to get the herringbone pattern because you would notice it straight away. So I thought, is this the style because this is what people want? Or is this the style because they can't be bothered, you know, laying the herringbone bricks because they're much smaller? But either way, it was 26,000 pounds. So it didn't get done. There you go. Do we have cars that do self-drive over here at the moment? Mm. Yeah, I don't know about that. Oh, got to go shopping. I'm being told I've already had too much wine to drive. Does this mean you've got to walk? Oh, no. Simon, that's illegal. I know we're not in the EU anymore, but we're in the transition period. So I think your European Court of Human Rights still apply. And I'm pretty sure it's illegal to have to walk to a shop. If it's not, it should be. I don't care if it's only 200 metres. Have you seen the price of a plastic bag these days?
Yeah, they're going up, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. So you wouldn't be able to carry enough back to make it worthwhile.
It's only 200 metres, so he could go several times.
This would definitely breach his human rights. Have you got a truck or something that the dog could pull? Has the dog been drinking? These are questions we need answers to. You'll have to you'll be having the wine after the kids are in bed. Oh, Pete
did an interview this morning, the same webinar. Yeah, but you've got an excuse, Pete.
You've got a bad leg.
You can't get proper trousers on over your broken foot.
Yeah, definitely. Debbie walks the shops whenever possible. I'm round here. Pretty much the shops around the corner wouldn't have anything I wanted to buy. So the nearest shops that are useful are probably in Altrincham, aren't they? You know, the retail park.
Yeah.
So I would probably drive up there. It's not actually that far if you go cross country, by which I mean you go from here to the park that Lola loves. You walk across the golf course, obviously with your tin hat on. At the bottom of that, there's like a wooded area and you can keep walking. Eventually, it brings you out to Bramley Farm, doesn't it?
Yeah, I went there last week.
Which is quite close to Asda. And if you turn the other way, the retail park. The trouble is getting enough stuff back. Oh, now you see, Anthony has been getting loads of plastic bags since he started getting Tesco deliveries. Worth more than the shopping. Well, it's Asda, isn't it, that brings them in boxes?
Yeah.
So they dump a box at your door, plastic boxes, probably about 2 foot wide by 18 inches. So like a crate. But they bring it in on a stacker truck. A little push stacker truck thing. A
little cart.
So you take the pallet thing off it, the crate, and then you got to empty it. But, I mean, they're stood there waiting. So, basically, you're picking up one of these things and just tipping it upside down, aren't you? Just to get the stuff out quickly. that wasn't how they used to do it. It used to come in plastic bags, and they don't charge you for the plastic bags because it's faster for them to unpack for you. They will just leave you with the bags. Now, Morrisons take the American view, or the American view I used to see years ago, which was the, what would you say? Well, the stuff that you've bought. Now, even this includes really heavy stuff. They put it in paper bags, brown paper bags, fold the top over and then put a sticker on it. We don't normally do that in the UK. I've always wondered why we didn't have paper bags, because they'd be recyclable. But the plastic bags came in. But they then said that the plastic bags couldn't be standard plastic bags. They had to be biodegradable plastic bags, which is great, you know, for the environment and stuff. But could you just make it that they don't biodegrade between the store and the car? Because usually the handles fall off or the bottom falls out for me. They just overstack them. And they overstack them, of course, because there's a cost involved for each bag. They also had the bag for life, didn't they? And they've now reneged on that and saying it's not a bag for life anymore.
Hey, your kids are only little. It's past their bedtime now, surely. Go and crack open that bottle.
They do charge us for plastic bags. I think, was it 5p?
5p.
But it's doubled to 10. And they think this will have a big impact on people. But I don't think it will. I mean, I know it's like a 10% tax on what you buy. If you need, for every pound's worth, one bag, which you probably don't. So people just pay it. They just pay it rather than being organised. I did get organised about it, and I got some reusable bags, but not the bag for life, which is like huge. That's awkward. I got these kind of nylon ones that were incredibly strong, but they folded up really tiny into your bag. I ordered them on Amazon, and they were something like, you know, like 60 pence each, something like that.
Go to this meeting.
Enjoy your meeting. Say hello to Kieran for me. And don't flash your gym pants at them. Let them think you're in a proper suit.
Don't flash what?
Your gym pants at them, or your slippers. So funny.
You might remember Bob turning up in slippers to a proper meeting.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I'll apprise them for that. So I got these kind of reusable ones, and I was using those great. I thought they were fantastic. Then obviously we stopped going out at all, so they're just sitting there languishing. But maybe one day. They'll be good when we come to move the cables out of the office, which is a job that needs doing. You know all those jobs we thought we'd do in our staycation? Yeah, those. I know this should be being done, but the fact is that you know, we're a little bit behind. But we are doing other things. Have you noticed that? All the best laid plans, never mind that. I'm doing stuff. I'm doing different stuff. But at the point I'm doing it seemed to be far more pressing than the stuff I thought was going to be incredibly pressing last week. Why do we waste time planning and then do something else? Good night, Simon. Enjoy. Plastic bags are not allowed in Seattle. We use paper or reusable. I always had this vision. Whenever I used to see things, now I'll admit, I don't really watch TV, so it was a while ago. But the kind of programmes that I would watch, when somebody came out of a shop in the States, they would have their stuff in a paper bag and it didn't have a handle either. You used to actually like carry it. And that to us was rather strange, because while over here you could probably carry 10 carrier bags, you couldn't carry 10 of those because they don't have handles. But it always seemed a sounder idea that they're paper and they're recyclable, and ours never really were. People do recycle plastic bags, to be honest. They use them as bin liners, and then they take that out of the bin and they tie the top. Mike and I don't really do that. We buy bin liners on a roll, and I've got a bin in the office. Now, Mike did used to have a bin, but we changed it and he's got the shredder. So he has the shredder next to him. I have the bin next to me. And, you know, like you take out what's in the bin and it's in a bag and you tie the top. Right, you're done. Then you need a bin bag. And then it's like, where are the bin bags? The bin bags are in the bin at the bottom. So I know when I'm like three bags away from needing a new roll, and that's how we organise it. But some people do that. Mum used to keep bags, and she would put like things like potato peelings in them or something, and then put that in the bin. But yeah, it's all change now, you know, all change. Let's have a look. back. So when Paul was a child, took piano lessons. Mum didn't notice until it was time to perform at the annual recital. I hadn't put any socks on. Oh, this guy's adorable, Bob. He and his wife, Tina. You'll have heard me talk about Tina. She's a scream. Bob sings. Bob is very operatic with his singing. And they actually live next door to another Catinian couple who were talking about cavity wall insulation, so they don't have to listen to Bob singing. These are the couple that look after their grandchildren, and the grandchildren, oh, they're adorable. But what a scream. He was the one who climbed out on the roof. So Bob is fraught most of the time. So this particular Thursday night, he was going to the Catinians meeting. This was a couple of years ago when they went physically. So he turns up at the local Conservative Club, which is where they hold these meetings. And somebody said, "Were you in a rush, Bob?" And Bob's like, "No, not really. Why?" And he looked down at the floor and Bob was like, "And?" And he said, "Bob, you've got your slippers on." He'd actually managed to get out of the house, drive to the place and walk in and not notice he still had his slippers on. Oh, Bob. And you know how it is that they're supposed to wear, like, you know, suit, tie, booted, suited, whole lot. They didn't mention shoes, though. So I think Bob got away with that one. But it went down in folklore as, do you remember the meeting when Bob turned up in his slippers? Poor Bob. Your paper bags now have handles. I'm not sure that would even work with a paper bag here. They just put too much in the bags, to be honest. Oh, I've done it, Anthony. I've gone out in my slippers, I must admit. But I realise at the point, like, I think I have actually got into the car with it. And then I realise as I'm pushing the pedals, like, no, you've got your slippers on, go back in the house. I'm sure we've all done it, but he actually took it to extremes and pitched up there in it. Oh, Bob, honestly, Bob. I have seen paper bags that have handles, but they never seem to be that well designed that you would be able to actually use the handles if there was any degree of weight in it. So if you think about going into like a perfume shop, they tend to have like very highly designed bags. They are recyclable, they're paper, so they don't need to charge for them. Beautiful colours, you know, and little dinky handles. But you're only putting one bottle of perfume in it. The Apple store, the last time I went in, we got talking to them about the bags. They don't charge for bags. How do they get away with it? Because it's a legal requirement in this country that the store cannot absorb the cost of the bag and quote you like a bag included price. The price of the goods is the price of the goods. And then the bags have to be on top of that. So I've always said to Mike, you know, how do Apple get away with it? Because they don't charge for the bags. Now, I personally think it would be a bit mean to charge for the bags. You know, when you're going in there, the last time we went in and this happened, we had two items. I had a bag and Mike had a bag. And at the bottom of it was a pair of AirPods. So it was fairly tiny to start with. But the time before that, we went in and Mike got a 12.9-inch iPad. I got a 12.9-inch iPad and I got a 10.2-inch iPad. And we got two pencils between us. So obviously there was lots of bags involved and they didn't put the price on the bill. Now, when you're spending upwards, probably that day, about £2,900, that would look very mean, but they didn't. And I said, I must have asked a question about, you know, how do you not charge for the bags? Not that I'm suggesting you should charge for the bags. And there was a bag right in front of us. And the guy said, and there was a really valid reason. He said, they're not plastic. So I looked at this plastic bag and I looked at it and I rubbed it and I said, it looks plastic to me. He said, I know. And it had handles on it that were like cord. And the cord, surely that's plastic. And he went, no. He said, guess what that is made of? So we're feeling it, you know. No, it's plastic. And the handle, that's a cord. He said, no, it's paper. I'm like, how? And they make their own. And they don't have to charge because they are instantly biodegradable. It's made out of paper. And I just could not fathom how they'd made this cord, which honestly, it was springy like fabric. I swear it was. It was all biodegradable and made out of paper and recycled paper at that. The plastic did have a kind of dull look to it rather than shiny. But honestly, it would have been really difficult to tell that from a plastic bag. Now, I guess what Apple are doing, it's probably costing them more to make those bags per sale than it would be if they made non-biodegradable and passed the charge on to you. But they've taken a different approach with it. The bags are like, I said to Mike, I'm going to keep that bag, see how long it lasts. Because the plastic ones, they've been doing this for about 10 years to drive my mum crazy. You'd put rubbish in a biodegradable bag, and these were the only bags you could buy, incidentally. The biodegradable bag looked like a standard bin bag. So she was always saying they weren't as strong as they used to be, and she was quite right, they weren't. And all that meant was you just used two, which was stupid. You know, that's not helping the planet at all, but you physically had to, or the backside would fall out of this bag. So she'd got these bags, they were like the best bags we could find, and she was decorating, so she'd stripped a wall. Cue Jonathan, he knows what that's like. And what she was putting in it was all of the scraps of paper she'd taken off the wall. So she's throwing it in there for like 3 days, and she gets to the point of, right, it's done. She picks up this biodegradable bag to find out it had indeed biodegraded, and the bottom of the bag was stuck to the concrete floor. So then she had to go and get more bags, and she wasn't happy. Why don't you just let people? I think there's more rubbish now, because instead of having the rubbish in one bag, you've got the rubbish in 14 bags, just in case the backside falls out of it. We're the same with shopping bags, bin bags. I mean, I can tell the difference between the bin bags I'm using now and the last roll of bin bags. And what happened was, the last roll of bin bags was bought fairly recently, and they were very dull and very thin, and you didn't dare overload them. But then I said to Mike, I need more bin bags. And he said, oh, I found some, you know, extra from somewhere. So he gives them to me. And I said, oh, these were bought a couple of years back. I said, because just feel the difference. And one was like, yeah, that's going to just disintegrate. And the other one was a proper bag. So I've had the pleasure of a proper roll of bin bags, but I'm nearly down to the bottom. So doubtless I'm going to be returned to the biodegradable bags, which are useless. Good night, Pete. Bath time. I'll leave Mike to it. Bath time will be later for Mike, not now. Anyway, tomorrow. Oh, we've got lots to talk about tomorrow, haven't we? Two Show Friday. Lots and lots of lovely new stuff. I was actually first last night. You know, like Paul, you sometimes come on, Paul, and you say, oh, there's an update on Ocean. And you get that flash across the top, don't you? And that's like usually your first indication that there's something new in Notion. So last night I'm sitting there and I had open a placeholder for an episode of Marooned, I think. And I navigated to this page and I was just about to click and I spot this update at the bottom and thought, just a minute, whoa, where did that come from? And they'd added this feature. They still haven't announced this feature publicly, and it's a huge feature. They've not announced it at all. So I'm thinking to myself, looking back at the previous after-hours shows, I normally notice an update, because I live in Notion, on a Wednesday night. I'm preparing for after-hours, and I swear, some point really late on Thursday or early Friday, I'll then get that blue flash and they'll say there's something new. But I think they roll it out at least 12 to 24 hours before they tell anybody. You haven't got any Notion updates. I reckon, Debbie, it probably is there, but it's not reporting it to you because it's there. The update is there. Have you got a page that links to another page? So what I mean by that is I'm looking at an after hours page and I have referenced this page from my weekly action guide. Have you got a page like that? Because I'm sure Paul's saying he hasn't got it. I'm sure must have. Let's find a way of testing it. Go and get a page. Any page will do. I'll make a new one at the bottom of my flight deck. Go make a page and call it test page. I'm on the web. It shouldn't make a difference. I'm on the web, but it shouldn't really matter. Make a new page, right, and call it backlink. Right, so I've got a new page called backlink. Right, on that page, underneath it, do an at and pick another page to link to. So in my case, I'll at a MacBytes episode. That is not helpful. All right, MacBytes. Right, you shouldn't see anything on that page. So the page you've called backlink at the top, you shouldn't see anything on that page but the link that you have created to the other page. If you then click on the link that you've added, so in my case, it's linking out to MacBytes. If you go link to that, at the bottom of the metadata, so just before the comment, you should see a link to this page, and one of the links is to the backlink page. So it's happening automatically. Now, I must admit, haven't looked at the web, the iPad version, so let's go and have a look at that, see if it's there. I know it does usually prompt you for an update, but I think it's... Well, I've just gone and it said update and see what's new. And what have I got? What's the date on it? There you go. September 2nd. Bugs and improvements. There is a new markdown shortcut where you can create a quote block by typing blah, 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 new slash command. Discussions are called comments to keep it simple. You can't leave a shared workspace if you're the only remaining admin. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, come on. Give me the detailed stuff, the best stuff. This is all bug fixes. And it's going on and on and on. I can't believe that. It doesn't mention it. Really? Oh, wow. That's ludicrous. No, I'm looking. I've got the update, but it doesn't mention it. Now, has it filtered it out? Because it knows it's not available on the iPad. Right, I'll tell you what I'll do about that. I will send it to Firefox on my desktop. God, I love Firefox. Right, Firefox on Serenity. Where you go. Let's make sure that arrives. Excellent, it's arrived. Okay, so I'm going to come out of that and then go into the same page and see if I've got it. So I added it to my flight deck at the bottom. Let's go all the way down to the bottom of that. Tap on that for backlink. Tap on the page. I have backlinks. So it is available on the iPad. When you say check the App Store and it's not showing an update, the update doesn't have to come from the App Store. The update is actually just there. It will at times say to you, you need to do an update. And also at times, they will update the app. But the update that I'm actually talking about is part of the fact that they will roll it out silently. And you will only know it's there if you actually go looking for it. So if you do what I've just said to do, you will see the new toys. And they are incredibly useful. And yep, works on the iPad. So all you need to do to test it is make a new page. You will actually have pages there already that will have this. But just to be absolutely certain that you're doing the right thing to see it, make a new page and call that, you can call it whatever you like, but I'm calling it backlink. Within that page, put the at sign and link to any other page in your database. When you tap on the link in the page that you've called backlink, it takes you to that page, scroll down to the bottom of the meta where it says add a comment. And just above that, you should see linked to this page. And that's called a backlink. Now, it's a huge thing in Rome. In Notion, it hasn't been up to now. And a lot of people who prefer Notion are saying, that's it, that's a Rome killer. But the people who are in Rome are saying, you call that a backlink? Rome and Notion, totally different audiences for totally different jobs. You cannot compare a screwdriver with a hammer. And that's what people are doing. But it's a nice feature if you're already using Notion. Because you would then know where this page was referred to. Just below the comment section. It's just above the comment section. It's sandwiched between the metadata at the top and the comment section. But it's there. It's definitely there. But I will show you more on that tomorrow because there's a lot more to it than that. But that's the basics of it. But you can force an update. So one option, can we do this on iOS? Never done it on iOS, never had to. Can we force an update? I don't think we can on iOS, can we? No, I don't think you can. If you're on the app, can you actually do it from there? Is there a help option? Can we do it from the help option? The way to refresh it in a web browser is to close the page and open it again. And that will load in the latest. It should give you a number at the bottom. So mine is 2.8.23.2.15. And it says updated a day ago. Now you've got a message stating you're offline and you don't know why. I will show it to you tomorrow. I will even make a note to myself to show it you on iOS. I'll take some screenshots from iOS so we can see what that actually looks like. They're adding this for a couple of reasons. One is they needed to use the term backlink to make it look more comparable with Rome. Their implementation is nothing like Rome, but it is a useful thing to have if you're looking for where this page is actually referenced from. So it's useful, but they've added in another option as well to do with blocks. So detail-wise, I'll wait till tomorrow. But if you wanted to have a play around with it in the meanwhile, it is actually there. I'd close the app down and completely restart it. So do the swipe up to lose it. If there is a help button, is there a help button in the iOS version? Very seldom use the iOS version. Help and feedback. Right, let's go there. If you tap on help and feedback at the bottom, so in the list on the left, in your sidebar on the iOS version, go down to the bottom of it and it will have a number on it. And even though I haven't updated the app since the last update came out weeks ago, it says updated a day ago. What it's referring to is the version of the code that lives on their servers that your iPad is accessing. So I had a problem a long time ago and I was saying, you know, you're saying this is happening, but it's not happening for me. This is happening. And they said to me, this is what you do. And you have to go and basically force an update from their servers. But most people never need to do that because they close the app down. But I live in it. So it'd been there like a week and I hadn't rebooted or anything. I hadn't closed the web page. So just check the help and feedback and at the bottom. And if it says anything like, you know, updated a week ago, then you'll need to close the app completely, do the swipe up and lose it, and then open it up again. And that will refresh it. And then you will be able to see the linked to this page links, which is so cool. But it makes much more sense in relation to the rest of what they're doing, which I will explain tomorrow. But it's there. There is the help button. So it's at the bottom of the help button. When you tap on the help button, there's a popover. And in the popover at the bottom, it will tell you the last time it was updated. And if it was any time in the last 24 hours, you've got the latest version. If it's not, then force an update. If you're in the desktop version or the version hosted in a browser, the help button is not on the left-hand side. It's on the right-hand side, just at the bottom. Yay, it was updated a day ago. So they are there, Debbie. They are there. It's like a stealth update. You don't actually know it's updating until you see something new. Hello, Alex. So having it to hand like that, you'd always just check in there. And if it's not up to date, refresh the page. If that doesn't work, close the page down, open it up again. And if you're on iOS, close the app. You could, you know, if it still won't update, you could actually uninstall the app and reinstall it because there's nothing stored local. You would just need to log in again. And then you are bound to get the latest version. But usually it's just pushed out to you. And you only really, I mean, I had three pages looking at three different MacBite shows. Two of them didn't have the update, but one did. And that was because I'd just refreshed that page. As soon as I refreshed the other two pages, boom, I got the updated version. So trust me, it's there. It is definitely, definitely there. But I will show you more about that tomorrow because it's all nuanced, isn't it? But I cannot believe they've advertised this as September 2nd update, bug bash. And it's all bug fixes and improvements, which is fine. But, you know, you've just added this and you've not told anybody. That's bizarre. I mentioned it in the Facebook group, and people were like, oh, be still my beating heart, I need this. Which is what I would have expected. But no, they've not mentioned it. And that only just came out. Literally, only just came out. And I even have on their What's New page, I have a backlink to one page of mine. So these backlinks work even if it's not in your space. Whoa, that's stunning. We'll have a look at what we can do with these. You have the backlink, but no notice of an update. I've only seen the update notice on my iPad. Not arrived yet on the desktop. But it is there and it's dated yesterday. They must be going to do another update notice, though. Must be, because they've not announced it. So people are going to be seeing this thing and thinking, what's this? But all will be revealed tomorrow. I will have bashed the heck out of it by tomorrow. I'll also put in about updating, because I thought either everybody knew about that or it happened automatically, but clearly not. So I'll put in about updating. And it's not a new version of the app. It's just a stealth rollout in the code. Because obviously you're interacting with their servers all the time. So if they update the code on the servers, that has an impact on you. But I do think it, you know, when they've changed something in the interface like this, I do think it's incumbent upon them to actually tell you about it. Because you might just be looking at it thinking it's broken, or where did that come from? What's that? Also, if you're going to rename something, so discussions are now called comments to keep it simple. If you're going to change interface elements, tell people. Good job I noticed, wasn't it? We'll be looking at it thinking, why is there a link in there, and trying to delete them, which you can't do. You can hide them. If you don't want to see the backlinks, you can hide them. But when I found them last night, it hadn't even been hooked up to the help system. So I clicked on the button and it said hide backlinks, but it now says hide backlinks. And then underneath it says learn about backlinks, and it takes you to a help page. But that wasn't there last night. So I must have caught it literally as they were rolling it out. And I only had like a tiny bit of notice of it. You did, Deb, and I think you put like on it, didn't you? Because it flashed up with your picture, because we know each other. It's very kind. I thought I'd share it because I know so many people were waiting for it and no one had said a word. And I thought, I can only assume this is literally only just rolled out. And some people were asking, you know, what is a backlink? So then it got into a debate of, OK, well, this is what it is and this is what you can do with it. So that is all for tomorrow night. All will be revealed tomorrow night. So I've put that bit in. Where's tomorrow night's thing? I'm now on the wrong bit. Oh, the scripting. Kim will hopefully like the scripting. You mentioned how I use scripts in BB Edit. Well, I fixed the scripts that were broken, so now I'll show you how I use the scripts. I say this often, don't I, Kim? There's a dirty hack involved. This one is the mother and father of all dirty hacks. This was something that I actually, in fact, all three of the demonstrations I'll give you, I actually use. These are not to show you a feature, I'll make up this scenario. These are real. I needed a way to automatically process the set list for Brooklyn's 196. I needed a way to make the show notes easier in MacBytes. And then there was the third one, which was I switched applications and the new application did not have a feature that the old application did. So I started writing to the developer saying, you really, really do need this. And like, they're not interested. They are not interested. So I had to find another way of doing it. And this one is the mother and father of all dirty hacks. This one I actually drill down into, you know, like you've got an application and it makes a file. Well, this file is a package file. So there's more than one actual individual file into it. I actually have to drill down into that to get what I need to make this work. But the day I got it working, it was like, right, pass me the champagne. We're having a party now. So I'll show that one as well. So we've got those. What's Mike doing? Oh, he's deep diving the chat generator. We got about five people saying that is really cool. How do you actually do it, though? You know, what actually happens? So we've got that. And then we've got the final build with me on Devon Think. So a full night. I do hope Jonathan's had some sleep. As we always say, poor Jonathan. Oh, I'm glad you like the hacks. We've got more than one person liking the hacks. Excellent. Sometimes it's just so infuriating. If I did a comparison between these two apps, on paper, One would completely annihilate the other, and yet I use the other one. There are so many things that I wish it did that it doesn't, and there's things that I've had to create hacks for. But like the three features it has that the other one doesn't are the features that matter the absolute most to me. So the features it doesn't have, I am going to have to work around. But there's nothing I like more than a challenge. And that one was a huge challenge. That one was probably the biggest challenge I've taken on. And what was comical about it, which I'll probably explain more tomorrow, was, you know, when you're in, you're deep in trying to create a hack, you have no idea how long it will take. You have no idea how many stages will be involved. You literally have no idea about anything. It's like a black hole. So you're making notes as you go on the fly, post-it notes, scribbled notes. You can't really do, oh, I've tested this and that. It's not like a science notebook. It's all over the place until you're getting close. And then it's like, well, if I just tweak that and I change the order of that, which is why it's post-it notes on the desk. Do you know I've gone through 5 packets of post-it notes this week? I'm lethal with them. Good job Amazon supply them. But once I'd gone through it all and it's working, it's like, fabulous. And you then back it up. So I create a zip file with all of the files and scripts that I need. And it was there. 2 years later, it stops working. So I come back to it and I'm like, OK, where's the notes? What notes? They were probably on post-it notes. You don't document it straight away because you're thinking, oh, it's going to break. So it's going to need tweaking. So I won't document. Everything is now being documented to within an inch of its life. Because if you don't, when you come back to it, you've really got to start again. So I'm being kind to future me now and documenting everything to within an inch of its life. Change logs and functional specs and all kinds of stuff. You know, I know how to do these things, but you never bother for yourself. You bother for clients, but you never bother for yourself. But I will do that and we will see it tomorrow. Well, we'll leave it on that high of you liking my hacks and me having 3 classics to share with you tomorrow. Yes, it's 2-Show Friday. How did it get to be Friday? I swear it was Monday yesterday. But there again, we've been in and out of lockdown that many times. I'm confused anyway. It's a wonder I know what month it is. Never mind. Or what year it is. Mind you, I don't think any of us are ever going to forget 2020, are we? But never mind. Tomorrow will be a good day because it's 2-Show Friday. But for the moment, I will say good night from me and good night from Mike. We will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.